Okay. Well, it's lovely to see you all as we continue to journey through the season of Easter. Notice this week is we have got annual parochial church meetings, Joy of Joys, this week. So we have East Tuddenham's tomorrow. We have Yaxham's. No, we don't. We have Yaxham's tomorrow, East Tuddenham's on Tuesday, Mattershall's on Wednesday, and North Tottenham's on Thursday. There have been details sent around. I understand from Alan that the some of the details were looked really pretty on my screen, but not so much on others. So I will send out an email this afternoon with the details so that everybody can actually access them. We're doing those ones via Zoom. If you are wishing to stand as a member of the PCC for any of those parishes, please do send me the paperwork. Shall we just pray? Father God, we give you thanks and praise that by your Holy Spirit, you have brought us into your love and given us a joy that nothing else can bring. We thank you that through your Son, we have been died to sin, and through his resurrection, we are alive to you. So bring us a real, by your Holy Spirit, a real sense of his presence with us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It did occur to me that I should have also given notice that we are. At Wellborn, we're having our annual parochial meeting, which is the meeting to elect church wardens next week at 9 o'clock. The APCM bit, the annual parochial church meeting bit of the meeting, is happening in May. So it is Easter. So we're going to begin with our Easter response. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We sing the head that once was crowned with thorns.
Indeed, we do.
Jesus.
And so we continue to reflect on what Easter means for us and for the world. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has given us new life and hope.
He has raised Jesus from the dead.
God has claimed us for his own.
He has brought us out of darkness.
He has made us light to the world.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And as we come into the presence of the risen Christ, we come into the presence of the one who has borne our sins in the tree, the cross of the tree. And so we sing as we reflect what it means for us to come into God's presence as we are. We sing, Come As You Are.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your
And so we come as we are, knowing of God's grace, mercy, and healing. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us rejoice by putting away all malice and evil and confessing our sins with a sincere and true heart. Like Mary at the empty tomb, we fail to grasp the wonder of your presence. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Like the disciples behind locked doors, we are afraid to be seen as your followers. Christ have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Like Thomas in the upper room, we are slow to believe. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so we use this prayer for Easter, for this Sunday, the third Sunday of Easter. And as you can see, I'm beginning, and then we're going to say it together, although Fred obviously is going to say it on our behalf. We're going to join in it together, because it's about transformation by the presence of the risen Christ. So, Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord,
give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for he is alive and reigns with you. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
So we're now going to listen to our Bible reading, which Fiona is going to read for us.
Our reading today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 48. Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why no doubts raise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for all the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray that by the Spirit you will speak into our hearts and lives afresh. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're continuing our exploration of the meetings between Jesus and his disciples after Easter Day. And I want to just reflect today on a couple of the verses that we see there. But I'm going to explain my reflection by reading some other verses from 1 Corinthians 15, which talk about the resurrection. So Paul has taught the whole of the chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 really is an explanation and then an exploration of the what it means to believe in a resurrected Savior, for Jesus to have been raised from the dead. So I'm just cutting to some verses that that will help explain what I'm going to be focusing on today. So he's explaining about the resurrection body, and he says this: "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So we see there Paul is making a contrast between sort of Jesus before resurrection and therefore us, and Jesus after resurrection and therefore us, that there is a distinction. There's a continuation, but that there is a distinction. And then I'm going to read some verses towards the end. It says of 1 Corinthians 15, "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the immortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." So again, there Paul is making a contrast. But in both of these contrasts, what we see is that there is a step change. There's a qualitative change between before and after resurrection, and that there is perfection. That's one of the things that we see. Paul is saying that there things become perfect. And we see echoes there in, say, 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul is talking about that experience of what it means to be fully known by God, that we see that throughout, that what resurrection means is perfection, and that there is a change. So now let's come back. So we've done the theological reflection on the meaning of and the nature of resurrection, and now we're going to come back to see what happens when the resurrected Christ, when Jesus resurrected, then meets with the disciples. And I want to focus particularly today on just a few verses. So from verse 37, "The disciples were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet." Why did Jesus show his hands and feet? Well, because, of course, when Jesus showed his hands and feet, as John, similarly speaks about Jesus meeting in a similar way, of course, what they saw on Jesus was, of course, the wounds of the cross. And what I'm going to do today is we're going to do a reflection on what it means for the resurrected Christ to have the wounds of the cross on his hands and on his feet. Because in one sense, and in a very real sense, that is unexpected. Because resurrection is about perfection. So why have we got the physical signs of wounds on the resurrected Christ? In a way, when we picture what resurrection means, I think we often think it means it takes away all that is in, well, it says it takes away all that is imperfect. The imperfect disappears. Well, what does it mean for us to be imperfect? We would probably think about our imperfections, particularly as we get slightly older, in the grey hair and the wrinkles and the way our skin kind of does that. It no longer, is no longer as supple. And let's face it, millions and millions of pounds, if not billions of pounds, are spent every year by people putting things on their skin in order to make it look younger, to look more perfect, because we've got into our heads that perfect means unblemished, means untrammeled, means undisturbed. I can remember my granny it's one of my, abiding memories of her is putting Nivea cream on her hands in order to kind of keep them looking young. So this fact that the resurrected, the perfected Christ, who there is a difference in his nature. He seems to interact with the physicality of walls in a different way, but yet that doesn't stop him from being a physical being. that this perfection does also include the cross. And I think this tells us four things, and that's what I want to reflect on today. What does it mean for us to have perfection, including the marks of the cross? So firstly, it tells us about the cross itself. I want us to imagine for a moment what it would have meant if when Jesus appeared with the disciples, there were no marks of the cross there. What would that have said about the cross? Well, I think it would have implied that actually the cross was a defeat. It was a failure. You know, we're used, aren't we, when people do their CVs or we read people's biographies and that they kind of skim out. And I'm sure we do it ourselves. You know, which bits when we're talking about ourselves, we say the things that have been joyful, the things that have been fruitful and successful. And we kind of elide, we skip out those bits where there's been failure or disappointment or hurt. If Jesus had appeared to the disciples with no wounds in his hands, it would have made the cross look like a failure. The fact that Jesus appears with those wounds is a very clear demonstration to the disciples that actually the cross was not a defeat. It was not a failure, but it is actually victory. The fact that the resurrected Christ had the wounds of the cross reveals the cross for what it truly is, which is God's defeat of sin and death. The second thing that the fact that Jesus had the wounds on his hands is it tells us something about God. So the first thing is it tells us about the cross. The second thing is it tells us about God. Because Jesus, the wounded Christ, is restored to that full relationship with the Father that was disrupted at the cross. And then, of course, at the end of Luke's Gospel, the beginning of Acts, and then reflected in such passages as Hebrews, we know that Jesus ascended into the presence of the Father, that he is now there with God. But he's not with God as some kind of rejuvenated Jesus. It's his humanity, but his wounded humanity is now with God. And that we, too, are taken with God in that woundedness. But that barrier is transformed by that presence. The wounds of Christ, the wounds of the cross, are now with God the Father. And that should make a difference in the way that we see God and his relationship to our world of pain. And I'm going to read now a poem that I think expresses this much better than me waving my hands around in the air and trying to explain what I mean. And it's actually written by a free church chaplain from World War I named Edward Shillitoe, who in response to what he saw and what he saw both with the trenches and when people returned, this poem was written in 1919, said this. It's called Jesus of the Scars. If we have never sought, we seek thee now. Thine eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. We must have sight of thy thorn pricks on thy prow. We must have thee, O Jesus of the Scars. The heavens frighten us, they are too calm. In all the universe we have no place. Our wounds are hurting us. Where is the balm? Lord Jesus, by thy scars, we claim thy grace. If, when the doors are shut, thou drawest near, only reveal those hands, that side of thine. We know today what wounds are, have no fear. show us thy scars. We know the countersign. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a god has wounds, but thou alone. I think that poem speaks very powerfully, not just of somebody trying to get their head around what it means to believe in God after the horrors of the World War I and to understand, but in this display, this verse that we could so easily go past, yet something profound about God is displayed. And certainly in other writings after World War II, we see similar reflections about what does it mean to believe in a God after the horrors of World War II, and particularly the horrors of the Holocaust. And we see similar reflections on those who suffered through those times, on seeing in the woundedness of Christ, but not just the woundedness of Christ on the cross, but the woundedness of Christ at the resurrection and at the ascension, as a connection to a broken and wounded world. And for us, as we celebrate the resurrection in this time of continuing uncertainty and concern about COVID and the unrest that we see around the world, the conflict that we see around the world, all the injustice and so on, all the pain which has been suffered, the woundedness of the world, these hands that bear the mark of the cross tell us something about the God that we intercede to on behalf of that world, the God whose power we seek in the resurrection as we come together and as we look forward. Thirdly, the wounded, resurrected Jesus tells us something about our future. I mentioned earlier my granny's Nivea cream. And I wonder, when you have thought about what it means to be resurrected at the last judgment, what it means to be with God forever, for all weakness and sinfulness and pain and sorrow to be removed, as we read about in Revelation chapter 21, and you've thought, I wonder what this will mean for me. Have you ever reflected on what that might mean to your body? And it may be that you have hoped that that will mean not just the departure of aches and pains, of arthritis and other complaints, but also maybe that rejuvenation, that holy Nivea cream that transforms us and makes us look like we're all 21 again. Except for those of us who are 21, of course, like Hannah and James, who I'm going to embarrass by mentioning publicly. But you know, that we're kind of restored. But actually, I think this the woundedness of Jesus challenges our assumptions about what resurrection means. It's not just some kind of rejuvenation process, but actually that somehow all those things, those experiences, those things that have happened to us are transformed and made perfect. Just as the cross is revealed that it was not a defeat, but actually a victory through the fact that the wounds were still there. So in our lives, in ways that we can't possibly begin to fully get our heads around yet, and won't until we experience it. Yet all those things that we to us may regard as weaknesses, defeats, will be transformed in resurrection into something glorious and perfect. And also the woundedness of Christ. So and this is my fourth and last point, tells us something about our present ourselves now. If I were to ask you to put your hand up and say, I'd like you to put your hand up now if you have never been wounded in your life, whether by other people, hurtful remarks, experiences that have happened to you, illnesses, things that you've broken, etc. There would be none of us who would put our hands up. Because, of course, we all have been wounded in one way or another. Sometimes those wounds are still wounds that we carry with us, either because they are chronic illnesses or things that have happened that mean that we know them now, or it may be in terms of relationships that have been broken, that we mourn, we regret what's happened, that we wish things had been different, we long for restoration. Those kinds of wounds also stay with us. What do we do with those? How do we see the resurrected Christ meeting us in that experience of woundedness and pain? Christian advocates on behalf of the disabled and the church's relationship with those who have disability have challenged the church's sense that it is split up into two groups, the disabled and everybody else, and that somehow the church, as everybody else, then sees itself as being compassionate to those with disability, you know, making sure that we're doing things in the right way for those with disability, and that there is a them and us kind of perspective. And they have quite rightly challenged that understanding, that split of the church into disabled, who are done to or done for, and everybody else, because they say we now have a disabled Christ. He's been disabled by the wounds, but yet he is also the resurrected Christ. That actually there is not two groups, there is just one group. And we see that a bit in this encounter between the risen Christ. Not only is he displaying the wounds and doing these things that I'm reflecting on today, but of course he's actually demonstrating that it is he. But it is he coming to bring peace to frightened disciples, to troubled hearts, that the wounded of Christ comes to the wounded, those who've been wounded by the experience of the crucifixion. And of course, as we know, will then go out into a world where they will be wounded again and again. And the end of John's Gospel, of course, we hear that prophecy, that very strong prophecy from Jesus to Peter about what this journey will mean for him. The wounded Christ is the one who comes to us in our woundedness, in our journeys. Sorry, I allowed myself to see that picture of Peter going to the cross. I wasn't expecting to do that, so forgive me. That the wounded Christ comes to us where we are today, in our own experience of life, not just to bring peace, but also to reveal himself to be that wounded Christ, the resurrected wounded Christ. And therefore, this should transform the way we think about our own woundedness. And it has left me with a question that I haven't finished reflecting on, I have to say, which is, in my own sense of woundedness, of being imperfect, needing perfection, where do I see the risen Jesus? Do I ask him, when I ask him for healing, that he will take away that he will take all the pain away, the weakness away, the suffering away? And I have to confess, I do, yes. But that's not what we see happening in this encounter. The wounded Christ challenges me to ask questions about my own understanding of how the resurrected Christ comes to me through the Holy Spirit, and what that means for me. That there's transformation of wounded rather than it being just removed. So the wounded Jesus also asks questions of us about how we see ourselves and each other and what that means for us as disciples. So this passage, this little bit, this simple verse, really, this action, look at my hands and my feet, says so much, I think. And so just to kind of go back over those four things that I think it tells us. Firstly, it tells us something about the cross. Secondly, I think it tells us something about God. Thirdly, it tells us something about our future. And also, it asks questions of our present. As we reflect a little bit on what it means to have the wounded Christ in our presence, in our midst, as the people of God, we are going to sing now, Lord, reign in me. Alan, are we going to have Lord, reign in me?
So I've got a problem here. Won't be a tick.
Shall I do it?
That's not in the, I haven't got it in the open LP thing. I have to do it directly. I'll type.
Okay. Shall I? I'll share my.
If you've got it.
I've got it.
Sunset sky, but my one request, Lord, my only aim is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect
in me again, Lord, reign.
And now we declare our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. We believe...
On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are going to be sharing the peace next, but before we do that, we're going to sing I Stand Amazed in the Presence, because, of course, that's what we are remembering when we share the peace together, that we're not just sharing it with each other, but we're sharing it together in the presence of the risen Jesus.
Of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful that my soul shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. The garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall end. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Well, in a moment, we will be seeing each other. As we go to gallery view in a bit. But first, let's use these words. The risen Christ came and stood amongst his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the risen Lord be always with you.
And so be with you.
Alleluia.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Okay. If you all go to gallery view, you'll be able to see each other and wave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now muting.
So Stephen is now going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let us pray to the Father for the church and the world and thank him for his goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful ceremonial procession and service to commemorate the love of His Royal Highness Prince Philip yesterday. Comfort the Queen, Lord, as she mourns the loss of husband after 70 years of marriage. Also be the rest of the Royal Family, Lord, and her staff, as they support her at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for Her Majesty's Armed Forces while still serving in Gaza, Iraq, Israel, Syria, Turkey, and other war-torn areas. Strengthen and keep them safe, Lord, as they do their duties. We pray that agreement can be reached in these places to end the fighting so further loss of life is avoided and the troops can return home. We thank you, Lord, for the nurses and doctors in the field hospitals who work to care for those who have been badly injured. Give them the strength, Lord, to carry on. Also pray that you bless and support the families, Lord, whilst our loved ones are away, serving their country. We thank you, Lord, for the service charities who work to support those who are currently serving or ex-servicemen and women who are still suffering due to their war injuries and need some help. Bless and guard Elizabeth, our Queen, who is to her own authority, and direct this in every nation in a way of justice and of peace, that men will honour one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
We raise you, Lord, people in other countries who are still suffering due to natural disasters, now out of the media spotlight. We thank you, Lord, for aid charities who work to help these people in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those who work long hours in our hospitals. Give them the strength, Lord, to carry on as they care for us all. We also keep the emergency services safe, Lord, as they do their work, often in dangerous conditions, to rescue us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Lord, that the vaccination program seems to be running to plan. We thank you for all those who are working in the vaccination centres, able for this to happen. Guide them, Lord, as they do their valuable work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for Mark, Sally, Andrea, and the others to prepare and lead other services in our churches and on Zoom. Bless them all, Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Lord, the shopkeepers in our village are always there to provide what we need. Be with them, Lord, and the other organizations to help us. We thank you for all those in our villages who have helped others during COVID-19. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those who are less fortunate than ourselves, who do not know where their next meal is coming from and where they're going to lay their head in the warm tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the food bank, for all who distribute items and who works there to support those people who need some help. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Raise you, Lord, those who are waiting for test results of x-rays and scans. Be with them, and we pray that they will hear soon and planned operations will go ahead. We now pause, raise up to the Lord any on our hearts who need our prayers this morning. Be with them all, Lord, at this time. We thank all those who work caring for others at home without much recognition. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves and all Christian people to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please join together saying the Lord's Prayer in a version closest to your hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Well, as we come towards the conclusion of our service this morning, it's been lovely this morning, as we've gathered in this way, and we're going to have this closing prayer. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Alleluia.
He has defeated the powers of death.
Alleluia.
Jesus turns our sorrow into dancing.
Alleluia.
He has the words of eternal life.
Alleluia.
And may God the Father, by whose love Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
And may God the Son, who in bursting from the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. Amen.
Amen.
And may God the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. Amen.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the risen Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, at the end of that passage, beyond the verses I focused on today, it says, you are witnesses of these things. Jesus sent the disciples out as witnesses. So we're going to sing, go forth and tell, because we are witnesses of the good news of the resurrected Christ.